This is Rebecca Lowe, or Rebecca Lua, if you listen to Suboptimal Radio, and you are listening to Men in Blazers on the NBC Sports Network.
It's unbelievable!
The man joining us today is an American soccer institution. If footballers were presidents, he'd be FDR, leading the USA to uncertain times domestically and internationally, on towards inevitable domination on the world stage. He earned 96 caps for the USA. Several of those came as part of the 1994 denim-clad team that caused so many people, including young Rog, to fall in love with American soccer. He played his club football for Padova in Italy's Serie A before returning to the US to star for the New England Revolution, the Metro Stars, the Kansas City Whiz, and the LA Galaxy. Currently, he serves as a football analyst for Fox, where he will be bringing us coverage of MLS's 20th season, we hope, fingers crossed, please God. We welcome to this special 2015 Major League Soccer, MLS, please let there be a season pod extra, Mr. Paniotis, Alexi Lalas.
Wow, that was pretty impressive. I don't even know where to go from there. Oh. That's beautiful, man.
Alexi Yasu.
Everyone good? Everybody good over there? You guys are still employed, right?
We are on tenderhooks with what is going on between the players and the team owners. Let's start with the question which every soccer fan in this country is asking right now, Alexi. How angry are you that gingers are the last minority to be given their own emoji by Apple? What's with that?
Well, look, I am a proud member of the Ginger Nation. I proudly admit my mutant gene. Me and my wife have done our part to continue it because, as you know, we're a dying breed, and so my kids possess the mutant gene. And it doesn't come without responsibility, and at times it's not the easiest of existence. But you know, some things that are good take a little more work.
It does seem to be the last minority that's socially acceptable to persecute, Alexi.
It is. It's amazing. I mean, if you wanted to get into a whole social discussion about how people feel it is appropriate and how easy it is to make fun, and maybe those of us with the mutant gene make it easier because of our reaction. But if you substituted other words in for redhead or ginger.
Like bull.
It wouldn't look so good. So,
like
but bull. You know what? It's okay.
We're ready to fight for ginger rights, and we'll talk about it on our other podcast, which is called Tonsorial Issues Today. But let's talk about the strike. It feels like it's the best of times and the worst of times for MLS right now. The great Bob Lee said today on SportsCenter, and that's why we give out these golden blazers. If there is a strike, he said, this would break the stupid meter. What have you heard from both sides, the players and the owners? And how would you handicap the odds this league's going to kick off in time?
Well, for your listeners out there, MLS is in the midst of this collective bargaining agreement that all leagues go through. And it's interesting in this sense because MLS continues to grow and to evolve. And when that happens, there's more money, the players see it, and the owners cry poor, and this is how it goes in most of these situations. They also goes down to the 11th hour in almost all of these situations, as it is right now. As we speak to you right now, MLS is kicking off the 2015 season, the 20th season in MLS history this weekend, and as it stands right now, they are still locked in negotiations. The biggest sticking point is free agency, as everyone knows. Free agency is an incredible asset and advantage when you're a player to be able to maximize your value, but it also, from an ownership standpoint, they believe that it leads to increased costs, and you certainly make an argument for that. So that's where the big sticking point is. I am an eternal optimist. I believe that these things come down to the 11th hour, and I think in this situation we will have a 2015 MLS season starting this weekend because it will be done at the 11th hour.
Yeah, part of me thinks this is just a brilliant strategy by MLS to get nationwide attention. I've not seen an MLS season get this much buzz before a ball's kicked.
I mean,
the strike, it's like guerrilla advertising to get on the front page of every sports newspaper. Bravo.
Well, yeah, because the quote that you had from our beloved Bob Lee and he had so many of them, actually appeared on SportsCenter, and they were talking about MLS in the context of the CBA problems that they're having right now. And I dare say that they probably wouldn't be talking about it in that way. And Taylor Twellman, a friend and colleague, Taylor Twellman, has been on SportsCenter throughout. It is a story. It's a big story, and to a certain extent, it gets people interested. And these are big boy problems. Look, if there's a strike, it's not the worst thing in the world to happen. I disagree a little bit with Bob Lee. These are big boy problems. If MLS is going to be Major League, they got to go through these things. It will survive. It will take a hit, absolutely, publicly, and there will be people, as you know, that will go off and find other soccer if it's a week, a month, or whatever it ends up being. But these are the types of things that Major League sports go through, and this too shall pass.
Yeah, I mean, the owners claim they're losing $100 million a year. You got to help me understand this. The cap, salary cap, is $3 million per team plus DPs. They've just signed a landmark TV rights deal, $75 million a year. They've got large sponsorship deals in place. How are they losing $100 million? Is the cash being burned in garbage cans in Columbus, Alexi?
Well, you'd have to go and look at all the books, and we'll never be able to see that. But you also have to understand, and once again for your listeners that maybe not aren't as close to it as we are, MLS is a single entity. And in that sense, the way that it is structured, it is about the collective, and you're only as strong as your weakest link. Everybody both participates in the gains but also participates in the losses.
We asked many of our listeners what the correct prayer is towards the season to kick off in time. GFOP at Richmond AJ suggested the right prayer is, and say it at home if you want, especially if you're in Orlando and you've got 60,000 fans ready to welcome NYCFC. Our Garba, who art in office, hallowed be thy Shay, with Kaká come, don't let Josie be done on turf as he was in Sunderland. Strike aside, I have to say, Alexi, I am excited for this season, the 20th. I watched every one of DC United home games in their first season 20 years ago with my own hair and my own teeth in place. I'm fully aware how far this league has come, how quickly it's come. It's much mocked. There's often a kind of a self-loathing or even an over-earnestness of those who do love it. But it's the American League, and more than ever, the league in which America's best players are taking the field. For that reason, I am unbelievably excited. Have you got the tingling about this 20th season?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, I am unabashedly biased when it comes to MLS. It is my league. I take it personally. It is La Cosa Nostra. And I know we've talked in the past about this inferiority complex that exists. And it's starting to dissipate. And no longer should you, nor do you need to apologize for what MLS is or what it has been or even what it isn't. If you like it, watch it. But I do think that if you become invested, if you take some time, it is unique. It is different. I am excited. I'm excited about 2015. As I said, it's the 20th season in existence. We have two new teams coming in with NYCFC, who we all know are coming in. And are they or are they not going to live up to that mothership and the aesthetic that they've made a point of trumpeting? The way that they talk about their association with Manchester City.
Parent company.
Well, that's fine. But yeah, but they have to figure it out. They also have to figure out how, when that inevitable compare and contrast happens, that they live up to it. And by the way, if you're a Liverpool or Manchester United or Chelsea fan living in the New York metropolitan area, do you go and watch that team? Or do you say, no, I'm going to go watch the Red Bulls because of their association with Manchester City? And is any self-respecting Liverpool fan would be caught dead wearing a NYCFC jersey? I don't know. That's for you guys to decide.
I couldn't agree more. Michael Davis's embrace of this team as a Chelsea fan is puzzling many of our listeners. A lot of confused Burnley fans in the New York metro area, not quite clear whether they...
That's redundant.
But let's go back to the beginning. I love origin stories. April 13, 1996. You made your MLS debut, 3-2 loss for the New England Revolution at Tampa Bay Mutiny. Where are you now, Tampa Bay Mutiny? Because You Love Me by Celine Dion was number one. The MLS is about to, please God, enter its 20th season. What's the most profound difference right now from when you took the field, April 13, 1996, humming Celine Dion?
Wow. So back then it was Wild West, and people have to understand that back in the 1900s we were coming off of the 94 World Cup. And look, the 94 World Cup was so important in terms of establishing that foundation to build MLS and giving people an idea of what soccer could be when it's played by professionals in a type of environment where people are that's conducive to soccer. But we still didn't know if it was going to last. One of the proudest moments of my life was coming back from Italy, where I was playing at the time, getting on the plane and flying back to be part of Major League Soccer in 1996. But I'll be honest with you, I didn't know how long it was going to last, or if it was going to last. Having said that, what has happened in terms of the infrastructure when it comes to coaching and stadiums, the recognition that it's all fine and well to have a good product, but you have to put it in a pretty box. And these stadiums that have come online and given not just soccer fans but sports fans in North America the level of accommodation that they are used to when they watch sports, but also, and I know we've talked about this too, the change in the way that we market this game, where it was in those days, it was the barnification of the Chuck E. Cheese type of aspect of marketing and selling the sport to kids and families.
Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, but that was what was done at the time, and it was the right thing to do. But that has changed. And the way that the American and North American soccer fan now wants an authentic experience, an organic experience, and the recognition from the people selling the game that that's what they need to give people. The American soccer culture, I told you this before, is no longer underground. It's no longer knit. It's above ground. It is strong. It is vibrant. It talks about itself in the context of not just MLS, but the American game and the world game. It thinks about things in terms of the international aspect of the sport, the way they talk, the way they dress, all of those different things. That's what's changed since 1996 for the better. And there's a whole generation, by the way, Raj, that has no idea what it was like back in the 1900s when it comes to soccer. And that's okay. I love it. I love the fact
I love
that
it when
no
you say back in the 1900s. It makes my mind wander to Peaky Blinders and Downton Abbey. But you know what I've noticed, really, over the past 18 months, Alexei, MLS has gone from a bit of a kind of an easy joke worldwide, a footnote, to an off-mentioned rumor in transfer dealings. I mean, it's now taken seriously when Van der Vaart, kind of his agent, just throws out he may be looking to MLS. Yeah, it's taken less seriously, but it is wonderful when Mario Balotelli's agent says that he'd like to come here. Samir Nasri talking about America is where I'm going to end my career. I remember the Premier League, Alexei, in the outset, in the early 1990s. It was the elephant's graveyard where great Serie A players like yourself would come and end their careers one last payday. Serie A was a giant back then. Football league tectonic shift. They are fluid. Yep. And for me, I can see the signs of MLS's legitimacy slowly building. It's a slow process, but it's very real.
It's interesting you talk about that migration and a quick migration, because back in the 80s and 90s, once again back in the 1900s, there's a whole generation that doesn't realize that Serie A was the place. It was all the big money. It was all the big players. It was the place to go, so much so that I had offers after the 94 World Cup, which completely changed my life, to go to England, to go to Germany, and to go to Italy. And there was no chance in hell that I was going anywhere else but Serie A because of the perception of what it was at the time.
If MLS teams played in England, Alexei, what league would they be in?
No, they could play in the EPL. What are you talking about? Yeah. Some of them could function in that mid-level to lower-level EPL. Yeah.
I don't mean that they'd be able to play the crap teams like Manchester United every week. I mean, like they play. Some of them could play in the English Premier League, but what? How would you range the team? So the best teams you think could play in the lower levels of the English Premier League?
Yeah, absolutely.
What about the other teams? What's the spread? The worst side of MLS. Where would they rank in?
Oh,
your
the championship.
Because to me, watching LA Galaxy, I put them, to be honest, I'd say they were a good championship team.
Right.
That would have a real run in the FA Cup. Well, let's get to some specifics here about we're both tingling, we both have excitement. What new player's arrival do you most hotly anticipate in MLS 2015 post-strike?
Kaká down in Orlando, and obviously Davi Villa and what they're doing in NYCFC, and then the summer arrivals that are going to happen with Steven Gerrard out in Los Angeles and Frank Lampard once again in New York. You've got Toronto FC, who, by the way, with the amount of money that they've spent and the talent that they have spent with Sebastian Giovinco now, Jozy Altidore and the already existing Michael Bradley. If they do not make the playoffs, and once again, for your listeners that don't know a lot about what's going on, this is a team that has spent oodles of money, has had incredible support when they came into this league, but has yet to make the playoffs. It has just not gone well. If they don't make the playoffs in 2015, given once again they've doubled down and spent more money, once again they have great players, and they're playing in an Eastern Conference that, at least on paper, is weaker, and instead of 5 teams out of the 10 making it, 6 teams out of the 10 make it, and they're playing in a conference with two brand-new teams in NYCFC and Orlando. If they don't make the playoffs, they should just fire the entire team and the entire front office.
Thinking about Toronto, I mean, Michael Bradley is one of the most intense competitors I've ever interviewed. I mean, he's had a tough World Cup. His club last season had a shambles of a campaign. What do you think is going on in his head right now?
I think that Michael Bradley, he didn't underestimate, but I think because he started his career in MLS, so he understood what MLS was about. But I think he looked at it as, first off, an opportunity to make a boatload of money that's going to help both him and future generations when it's all said and done in terms of the amount of money. And more money than he ever would have been offered from anyone else in the world. So it's also about timing. And he's a very smart guy. He recognized that this was an opportunity that he couldn't afford to pass up in many ways. The other part was the challenge. And I've told people, look, for all the futility that goes up in Toronto, you want to be there when it hits. Because when it does, you will be looked at as a god. And Michael Bradley, once again, is a smart guy. So I think he wants to be in that situation when it does hit, when it does go well, and he be the focus of that and the reason, one of the reasons, at least, why it went well. So, and I do believe that it will go well eventually. I mean, look, a blind squirrel eventually catches a nut every once in a while, especially when it spends a lot of money.
I mean, Josie, by the way, is a player, to me, needs to be loved, and I believe he will be in Toronto in a way he never was in Sunderland. And Sebastian Giovinco at Toronto, fascinating to me. No aging great, not an elephant's graveyard player. He is a Europa League quality player who chose to come to MLS. I mean, he was financially compensated greatly for that choice, but it's a massive step for the league. And it'll be fascinating to see whether he chooses to coast once he's here or uses his quality to excel. Which U.S. player do you expect to have a massive season?
Which U.S. player?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's the usual suspects that are important, and I already talked about Jozy Altidore and his, I mean, just absolute disaster of the last couple of years in terms of scoring goals. He gets this new lease on life, which also and a healthy paycheck when it comes to it. He's got to score goals. He's got to score goals. I like the fact that, you know, he's scored some goals now with the national team after coming back, and we know it's about confidence, but it's on his shoulders. He's the man. He's got to score goals, and he's got to score goals consistently. Other guys that we talked about, Jesse Zardes, who has just burst on the scene when it comes to the national team and really has just continues to evolve and get better and better. Player for the Los Angeles Galaxy right now. I'll be interested to see how he functions once again without Landon Donovan and how he continues to grow and improve. Some other guys you remember from last summer, Matt Beasley, who was the center back for the U.S., signed a designated player contract along with his teammate at Sporting KC, Graham Zuzzi, who were both involved in the World Cup. And they had an incredible summer, and then it just completely fell apart. And this was a big year for guys like that. So both for going forward for a guy like Matt Beasler on the national team, it's important, but also getting back to the heights that he has had with when it comes to MLS. Those are some guys.
I have to say, when you talk about people who had amazing summers and then completely fell apart, Davo and I can completely relate to that. But Zardes, 16 goals, 2 assists, 6 game winners in 2014. He is the gentleman that I am going to be watching this season. We should touch upon the two great new shining teams, fascinating experiments both. New York City FC on the field, that slightly sloping field at Yankee Stadium. What are you expecting from the New York team?
Well, first off, they have a very good coach and one that really understands MLS and Jason Christ, and that is important. But once again, they have positioned themselves to be this adjunct of Manchester City. And we've seen in the past when it comes to Chivas USA how that can be very problematic. I'm not saying that it's going to be, and they have the benefit of learning from the past and hopefully taking some of those lessons. But there is, as I said, going to be this compare and contrast. And are you a deluded version of the mothership? And if so, why should I follow you?
Mix Diskerud, we just had him in the panic room this week. He's now fully one of us. And he's going to lose some of his exotic otherness, I think, Alexei. Will he still be a light unto the nations?
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because there is this perception of players that are overseas, that they are of higher quality and of higher value. And sometimes it is actually the reality. Mix Dysker is going to be interesting, because while we have seen him, or while we have known of him from afar, and anointed him and given this perception of being quality, now he's got to do it on a continual basis right in front of everybody on television and in the stadium. I think he's got the ability to do so. I think he's going to be interesting to watch as to how he adapts to this new league. But there's going to be pressure on him. And it'll be interesting after this year what the perception is of Mix Diskerud now that he is week in and week out playing in MLS, as opposed to what it was when he was off and playing over in Europe.
I hope he'll be on NBC within 12 months playing for Manchester City alongside Kun Aguero. That's the future that I predict for him. Lampard versus Gerrard, Galaxy versus NYCFC, August the 23rd. We should have some thoughts of yours on Orlando. Fascinating fan culture brewing down there in Florida. Yes, Florida. You could say a graveyard for MLS in the past, but there's something remarkable going on there.
Well, look, we mentioned the 60,000 people that are scheduled to show up this weekend for their home opener, and they're a little bit different. While NYCFC is a brand new team and a brand new expansion team, Orlando City FC has actually been in existence down there, and I think that gives them an advantage. They understand who they are, what their identity is, what their market is, and how they want to proceed forward, as opposed to in New York, where they're making it up from scratch. Now, that can be beneficial at times, but I think when you look at this Orlando team, they've kept the coach Adrian Heath that they've had in last year when they weren't in MLS.
Former Everton legend.
Yep, and so that's important in terms of the consistency. We'll see how he transitions to a very different type of league, and that'll be fun to watch. And ultimately, it's also about winning. And in this league, it can be forgiving when you're a new team. You can come in and make a splash. And this is Orlando's and NYCFC's opportunity to give their first impression. And you only get one chance, as we all know. And they're going to want to do it on and off the field, make sure that they blow it out. But the support that they have had and the culture
fan
that they
culture.
Have fostered
Unbelievable.
Down has been wonderful.
Unbelievable. Interesting experiment there. Kaká, yes, is going to be wonderful to watch. But Breck Shea. Down there, moving to left back, a strafender, a defender who can score goals. What are you thinking?
Well, I think he sees that as his position going forward and his possible position if he gets back into the national team. And look, this is a guy who likes to gallop. This is a guy that you need to give space and say, this channel is yours. And he's a painter, he's an artist, so look, paint a beautiful picture. I'm not going to tell you how to do it, but I want you to paint something that is going to attract attention and at least be perceived as quality. And he's got that left foot. He's got that wanderlust, which he's just going to need to try to at least contain a little bit. But from what I've seen so far, I think that is his position, and I think that he has embraced it. We'll see how it goes because he's going to be asked to defend a lot. We saw him recently in playing in a formation that was a back three with the national team, but we've also seen him pull back into that back four, even in the same game with the national team. So there's a lot of things that are going to be interesting. I mean, the guy is fascinating. He's an interesting player on the field. He's an interesting person off it, and he's a guy that I want to watch. When I'm watching Orlando, I want to see what Breck Shea is doing.
Yeah, when I think about Breck Shea right now, I think about big guns and bad art, and hopefully we will reconnect him to goals and quality football in the season ahead. All right, who's going to win it all? MLS Cup, strike permitting, which two teams will we be watching striding onto that field?
So people ask me this all the time, and what I do is basically blanket the entire league so that at some point I can point to some show and say, yeah, I had it absolutely right. So here's what I'm saying.
Chivas.
So Look, your safe bets are Los Angeles and Seattle. As we know, last year, Los Angeles, while they lost out on the Supporters Shield, then went on to win MLS Cup. And Seattle, while they won the Supporters Shield and trumpeted it, are still missing that key to the puzzle. So I would say that Seattle this year doesn't win Supporters Shield, and in doing so, puts themselves to the promised land of winning MLS Cup. The other people to keep a lookout for, we mentioned Sporting Kansas City with Peter Vermes and what they are doing there. They're an interesting team from an East perspective. I am fascinated to see how the Toronto ends up when it goes there. But I think when it comes down to winning it all, I'm still going with a Seattle type of thing to finally figure it out. They brought Garth Lagerwey up there with the job of getting that final piece of the puzzle, because they can scream and yell all they want about Supporters Shield, but it doesn't mean anything. Nobody remembers the Supporters Shield. What they remember is that money shot at the end with the confetti coming down, holding up MLS Cup, and that's what they want. And to be quite honest, that's what they need in terms of this drive to become, and I'm going to say it, this super club where everybody domestically looks at them, but more importantly, everybody around the world thinks of them.
Kansas City, I'm looking forward to watching Christian Nemeth, the Hungarian who came through at Liverpool. And it is interesting to think about LA Galaxy this season, life after land, and DVG, the chance to finally win a league title. He probably too late in his career. All it took was for him to move and start playing under a real manager, Bruce Arena.
Well, Bruce is good. I mean, he understands this league. He understands players, and he knows what he knows, and maybe more importantly, he knows what he doesn't know, and doesn't try to get out of his lane too many times. But he has, I think, evolved in the same way that Sir Alex, we talk about how old school he was, and he had a way of doing things. But that's not really true. He was able to adapt to the new game, and he was able to change while still maintaining who he was. And I think Bruce Arena mirrors that.
Yeah, for the first time, we should say, with you at Fox and also over at ESPN, the league are going to have regular broadcast windows. Yep. Massive, massive step. Double headers Sunday afternoons on ESPN2 and Fox Sports, I believe 5 p.m., 7 p.m. Eastern Time, yeah, respectively. You're going to have consistency for the first time with MLS broadcasts, which have literally been all over the map previously. Is this going to be the year that we see the ratings challenge overcome for the league?
I hope so. I mean, look, I've moved over to Fox, and if I have had any value, it's because of the time and the support that I got over at ESPN. I had a wonderful time. But I am now with a company, as you said, that is, in a certain sense, partnering with ESPN in terms of these soccer Sundays and this destination type of viewing, because we all know that ratings are key, and MLS ratings have not been good, and we have to find a way to give people the opportunity on a consistent basis to watch the game. And one way to do that is to say, hey, it's going to be here consistently every week at a certain time. So that's why this 5-7 soccer Sunday, first ESPN game right into the Fox game, and both sides will be promoting both of the games, and that's where the relationship and the partnership happens. I think it's going to be fun because people are going to know exactly where to find their MLS on Sunday. I'm looking forward to it. We'll be doing, obviously, the later game, and so it will be the last thing that people see and hear when they are at the end of their weekend. And so it's up to us to make sure we put it in the context of what has already happened in the week, so that Monday morning when they come in, they know exactly what's been going on with MLS, and hopefully they're excited from what they've seen.
Sporting Kansas City against New York Red Bulls, New England at Seattle amongst the fair, which will grace our screens this Sunday. Last question from a GFOP at Dave Verana. Alexi Lalas, I've got the CD, but will Ginger ever be released on vinyl? Hashtag Kickstarter.
So for those of you and pretty much every one of you that don't know what he's talking about, I have done music for many, many years in my life. I've recorded and performed and written, and I still do. He's talking about a work of music that I put out back in the 1900s again.
1998, I think.
1998. It was entitled Ginger, and it came out at that point on CD. There is no chance in hell that it will ever be coming out on vinyl. But if you do happen to have a copy of it, You are a select and small few.
I have several. I have several, many of which are signed, but they're all in different handwriting. 4.8 stars on Amazon, I should add. To hear that, I've got to say, to hear that version of Goodbye Moon on vinyl, Alexi, if you offer that to the players, I think we may have just solved the strike. I've not seen you since Rio, by the way. Are the red velvet shoes still in your possession, or have the Smithsonian come calling?
I get more questions walking through airports about my red shoes from last summer in the World Cup than anything else. Everyone wants to know where they are. I just rest assured that they are safely tucked away, where they will remain until a later date. And I'm glad that they made such a impression on so many different people. They were fun to wear. I know that, that at one point you took them when I was off.
I wore them.
And you wore them on air, so you know what it's like. They're almost like Dorothy's slippers. You put them on, and you have this sense that anything can happen and that you can be taken home.
Yeah, they're like Dorothy's slippers, but a little more fungal, if I'm being candid.
Well, that's true.
I want to thank you. We're going to touch base with you, I hope, throughout the season. Please God, this season, inshallah, as they say, will kick off. But we wish you and everyone at Fox a great season, and looking forward to seeing that rating climb.
Well, it's always a pleasure, and I hope that you and your listeners continue to follow professional soccer. I think it is your duty, as we've talked about before. If you are an American soccer fan, you should be following your domestic league. I'm not saying you have to follow MLS, but find your professional team out there in the United States and follow it. And then we can sit down and we can do the official American soccer fan handshake.
Oh, you sound like Paul Revere to me. You sound like Paul Revere. Alexi, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Rock on.